from WILL's Illinois Newsroom, this is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. It's Monday, January 10th. Coming up, 2022 marks the 100th anniversary of WILL AM, the oldest component of Illinois public media. Throughout the year, we'll be looking back at the station's earlier days. That story from Jim Meadows, coming up in just a few minutes. But first, these headlines. Public health officials reported nearly 1,600 new COVID-19 cases in Champaign County over the weekend. The number of active cases has topped 7,000 for the first time. Carle Hospital in Urbana, which serves several counties, reported 134 people hospitalized with COVID-19 on Friday. That's down slightly from a week ago. 11 of those patients are in the ICU. Health officials continue to recommend the following to help control viral spread. Get fully vaccinated, including a booster dose if you're eligible. Wear a mask while at indoor public places. And get a COVID test if you have symptoms or have been exposed to anyone who's tested positive. Cannabis sales in Illinois doubled in 2021, the second year since cannabis became recreationally legal. Illinois Newsroom's Dana Cronin reports.
After a few sluggish months toward the end of the year, cannabis sales jumped in December, making 2021 the most profitable year yet for the industry. Sales totaled $1.38 billion. That's despite the lag in awarding 185 new dispensary licenses through a state lottery program. Jonah Rapino is with New Era Cannabis, which has 6 dispensaries across the state. He says last year was a good one for them, and he thinks the rise in cannabis sales has to do with increased use during the COVID-19 pandemic.
People found success using cannabis, and that just kept them going through 2020 and then into 21.
Not to mention, he says, cannabis is much more widely available now than it was in 2020. I'm Dana Cronin, Illinois Newsroom.
Rural areas are continuing to lose their full-service grocery stores and are forced to rely upon dollar stores and long drives to superstores to buy food. That's according to new data from the U.S. Department of Agriculture, which shows a 20% decline in grocery, specialty food, and convenience stores in rural areas over a 6-year period. Jennifer Paulson is the executive director of FoodWorks, a Southern Illinois nonprofit that works with farmers and rural communities. She says the data highlights a paradox.
In these very rural areas, which often have really beautiful climate and wonderful soils, you know, you can see farms for miles and miles, yet none of them are growing food that people can eat.
Paulson says the solution is changes to the food system that make it sustainable and affordable for small-scale farmers to grow food for rural residents. Students in the Danville School District will be back in person tomorrow after 3 days of remote learning last week. The district went remote after nearly 60 teachers, bus drivers, and other district staff tested positive for COVID-19. All students and staff will return to in-person learning tomorrow. Today is a planning day for teachers only. Northeast Elementary Magnet students will attend online learning today. In accordance with new guidance from the CDC and Illinois State Board of Education, Danville students who test positive can return after a 5-day quarantine. Superintendent Alicia Geddes says the increase in local cases is concerning and asks parents to closely monitor their children's health to slow the spread and maintain a safe in-person learning environment. Still to come, a look back at the early days of WILL AM, which turns 100 years old this year. We'll get that story from Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows coming up next on 217 Today.
American Masters, Becoming Helen Keller, examines one of the most important human rights activists of the 20th century. The documentary tells the story of the complex life and legacy of author and activist Helen Keller, who was deaf and blind most of her life. Through archival film clips, rare photographs, and expert interviews, you'll learn how she used her celebrity and wit to advocate for women, workers, and people with disabilities. Find out how you can watch as a friend of WILL at will.illinois.edu/passport.
This is 217 Today. I'm Brian Moline. 2022 marks the 100th anniversary of WILL AM, the oldest component of Illinois public media. The University of Illinois launched the station at a time when the idea of using radio to reach a mass audience was new and cutting edge. There was no FM radio or TV, no internet or social media. The first transatlantic phone call was 5 years away. Throughout the year, we'll be looking back at the station's earlier days and the country's earlier days, too. In this first report, Illinois Newsroom's Jim Meadows goes back to WILL's beginning.
If you had a really old radio, the kind that used more than one knob to tune in a station, it might make this noise.
when you were tuning and trying to go from one station to another, you heard what sounded like occult noises from deep space, from the ether.
From the ether, meaning the upper reaches of the sky, media historian Susan Douglas with the University of Michigan says that for many Americans in WYLL AM's first year of broadcasting, 1922, the sound of a radio being tuned evoked a kind of romantic potential, the potential that you might hear anything from anywhere.
And back then it was miraculous. It was a miracle to people that you could put some headphones on and you could hear voices and music from 50 miles away, 100 miles away.
There were only a couple of million radios in the U.S. in 1922, and many areas still had no stations of their own. There were no radio networks yet, and radio advertising was still a new and controversial idea. It was in this setting that the University of Illinois received a license to operate a radio station specifically for broadcasting to a mass audience. The station's first home was the U of I's Electrical Engineering Lab, and it was overseen for many years by the campus publicity department. Joseph Wright was the U of I's publicity director and WYLL's first director of broadcasting from the mid-1920s through the 40s. He once spoke with WYLL about his memories of the station's first transmitter and first set of call letters.
Hugh Brown, a professor of electrical engineering, had built a small transmitter of 100 watts or so for an experimental project, and that was the only thing the university had in the real early days. He dubbed it WRM. Most of us called it the worm, and he said, no, that means we reach millions.
Maybe not millions, but WRM did receive its share of mail from DXers, listeners searching their radio dials for distant stations and then writing in to let them know. No recordings exist of the early broadcasts that those DXers heard on WRM, but Susan Douglas says the programming on most university stations and radio's earliest days were something of a jumble.
You might have a lecture on home economics, followed by somebody singing, followed by weather reports, followed by crop reports. It was, you know, you didn't know what you were getting.
And they were terrible at it until the 1930s.
That's Josh Shepard, a media studies professor at the University of Colorado at Boulder. He says radio was so new in the 1920s and so new to university faculty and staff that things like regular program schedules and effective microphone technique only came gradually. But Shepard says from the 1930s onward, the staff at WRM, now WILL, would become a leader in the field of educational broadcasting. Calling itself the University of the Air, WILL produced programs that ranged from classical music to farm broadcasts to ball games. Recordings of some of those broadcasts still survive.
American Light Opera. The milestones of American light opera from the days of Reginald de Koven to now. Today, we continue the life of Victor Herbert.
Near and far, there you are, covered in the net of Tivoli Rich Irene. Oh,
good afternoon, homemakers. This is your quarter hour, presented Monday through Friday by the Home Economics Department of the University of Illinois. This is food preservation time on your quarter hour, and Miss Rowene France of our food research.
He's off, pass over to Evers. Evers off to the Hapax. 1 second left to play. The ball is way up in the air. Hapax threw it high in the air so no one could shoot that ball. And Illinois wins by a 35 to 33 count.
You heard clips from American Light Opera, recorded at the WYLL studios in 1948 or 49. Then an episode of the Homemakers Quarter Hour with Jesse Heathman and Jim Ebel calling the end of a close Illinois-Northwestern basketball game from 1940. Josh Shepard says WYLL, along with key U of I communications faculty such as Wilbur Schramm and Dallas Smythe, did important work in developing educational broadcasting both at the local and national level.
And they really, really cared about this work. There was almost no incentive. There was almost no money for it. But the practitioners that coalesced around Urbana-Champaign really had this vision that media could serve, public amelioration of access to democracy, education, equity, all these kinds of things.
In this past hour, we have given you a bird's eye view of five decades.
In 1972, WILL looked back in a special 50th anniversary broadcast. By then, we were on TV, broadcasting new programs like Sesame Street. And on WILL-FM, which had begun airing a new daily news program called All Things Considered. As WILL marks its 100th anniversary, we're looking back at the station's history again. And for the future, we'll see what comes out of the ether.
But now, though this program comes to a close, we do not sign off. We look forward to another 50 years of broadcasting with these Sounds of Sign-On.
I'm Jim Meadows, Illinois Public Media.
And finally, meteorologist Andrew Pritchard says we'll see mostly sunny skies today with a high of 26 degrees. That's all for today. 217 Today is produced by Farrah Anderson. Reporting today contributed by Dana Cronin, Jonathan All, Tanisha Spain, and Jim Meadows. Music by the Kilbourne Alley Blues Band. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. I'm Brian Moldine. 217 Today is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening, stay safe, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow.